Lord, we do thank you and we bless you and we love you. We decree and declare that we need you, Lord. So much has happened from Sunday to Sunday. God, it is amazing what can take place from Sunday to Sunday. So God, we need you. We ask that you speak to us through your word. We recognize that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, God, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, and decaying world. Speak to us now, God. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what the Holy Spirit is teaching to us, to his body this morning, Lord, through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we just thank you. We receive now, Lord. We open our hearts to receive what you have for us. We need it, Lord. We're not just praying for revelation. Let it lead to transformation, Lord, and then application. Let us apply all the word that you're giving us. Oh, we love you on today and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we just do a quick review from last week, did I say Acts 20? Okay, in verse 33, this is Paul speaking. Paul is talking about a good shepherd. For those of you that are taking notes, we're talking the difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd, also known as a savage wolf. That's out to destroy the church influenced by Satan, out to destroy your life with false prophecy influenced by Satan. The Bible's clear. The Bible is very clear on beware of false prophets, beware of savage wolves inside the church and unfortunately outside of the church as well. So Paul is, we're just going to do a quick review. Paul is speaking in verse 33 as a good shepherd. He said, I haven't coveted any person's silver or gold or apparel. I didn't start a church so I can take your stuff. I didn't start a church so I could have 15 offerings so I can take things from you and leave you with nothing. Paul said, that's not what I did. That's not what I'm here for. Amen? We're not going to have 20 offerings and a shoe offering. And when we took our trip to Greece, we didn't come back with holy water from Greece saying we'll sell it to you for $100 a bottle. It's going to bless your life. I guarantee you, you put on yourself every morning our prayer cloth. We had somebody pray over it, our holy dust from Rome, from the Colosseum. And you just take it to put on your shelf. It's $500, but you put on your shelf. I guarantee you a blessing will come to you within 5 days. Amen. We laugh, but we know it's true. And here's Paul saying, watch out for people like that. Amen. Paul said, that's not what I did. Verse 34, he said, you know yourselves that these hands have ministered. He said, I've provided unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said, I worked so I could be a blessing to someone else. Make a note if you don't have it in your notes. It should be in your DNA to be a giver. As a Christian, as a believer, you're giving your time, your talents, your resources. It's what you are. It's what you're made of because the Holy Spirit of God is in you. God gave. We are givers. Somebody say amen. Amen. As a believer in Christ, it's just part of your DNA. You have to be a blessing to someone. Amen. The world gets it, but they're just not a believer in Christ. I still do kind of go out and speak and all that kind of stuff. You have all these motivational speakers and they keep adding to their name. First, they're just a motivational speaker. Now they're a motivational speaker and entrepreneur. And now they're adding their philanthropist, right? Now they're giving because, you know, you get all this stuff and you realize it's supposed to make you happy, but it doesn't. So everybody's philanthropist around. All of them got it on their name. Dude, 10 years ago, you was just a motivational speaker. But now you're a philanthropist. Because people want to give back because it's supposed to give them purpose and make them something. But outside of Christ, it's just nothing because we take none of this stuff with us. But we are givers. We give because Christ gave to us. And the scripture says it's far more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it's a beautiful thing when you can give with no strings attached. I'm not giving to you to get something back. Amen? I don't have a hidden agenda. I don't have an ulterior motive. If we're doing business, that's different. That's business. But as far as just being a giver, that's not where the heart of a man or a woman of God is, that I'm giving and hopefully they're going to give me something back. That's not how we operate. Remember, if you don't have this written down, money is the tool, not the assignment. Never make money the assignment. Money's the tool that help you with the assignment that God has given you. It's not the assignment. The world has it mixed up. Money's the assignment. They're dying left and right over the money, and then they stand before God. He says, I never knew you. Remember, the most important question is, does Christ know you? Not that, do you know God? I'm trying to stick to the word and not tell stories, but I was watching, and somebody, you know, I wanted, God bless you all. That's what the gentleman said, and it's, and you know, that's no God. You see, that's the God with the little g. Based on their lifestyle and the message that they deliver, it's a public figure and athlete, and the message they deliver, at the end of his statement, he said, God bless you all, but his lifestyle has nothing to do. And I'm saying, you can't say that I know God. That's not important, because that's the God with the little g. That's the God of your own understanding, and that never convicts you. Make a note. Brother Peck taught me this. The God of your own understanding never convicts you. He tells you to do what you want to do. It never convicts you. Oh, no, it's all good. Everybody else is doing it. If that's the way you want to do it, then that's okay, because that's you. You're doing you. That's the God of your understanding, of your own understanding. But the God of the Bible will convict you, and you can't live any kind of way and be comfortable in that. We've tried it. It doesn't work. So we have to be careful, and that's the most important question. When we stand before Christ, he's going to say, yes, I do know you, because we spent time together. I remember that time when we were praying and fasting. Oh, by the way, I did want to say that too. Praying and fasting, God's put on my heart that we would pray and fast next month as well. Have our first meal after Sunday service. Amen. And we're praying. He put it on my heart, Sister Kathy, for our youth and our kids and our grown kids. Amen. So that's what we're praying for. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, my gosh, it's so rough out there for our kids. And they're not fluent in the word enough to navigate. They can't navigate this world based on opinion. And they're not fluent in the word. So they're struggling. So God said, you come together and you pray for them. Amen. Amen. You pray and fast for them. So we'll be praying and fasting for them during the month of March. If he gives me something for April, I'll share that with you. But he gave me our children. What? I wrote it down. What did it say? Our children, our grown children, and those that that think they're grown. Okay? Amen? That are still young and okay. March, let's pray and fast for our children, grown, and those that aren't grown but think they're grown. Amen? So that's what God gave me. And I wrote it down. It's on my notes within my notes. Amen. So I love God for this word. So we for those of you who weren't here last week, just make a note. We took a look at Matthew 25, 31 through 41. And that's when Christ said it's going to be a separation of sheep and goats. So right now, currently, you're either a sheep or a goat. Yes, there will be a separation. There will be a division. And then God goes on to say that when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. When you're blessing those that can't be a blessing to you, God says you're doing it to him. And they didn't even know when they were being a blessing. When did I see you hungry? When did I see that you needed something to drink? When did I go visit you in prison? When did I give you shelter? When? He said, when you've done it to the least of these. Amen. The ladies are going to the teen challenge on Tuesday. Ladies, if you're available, go. If you have the time in your schedule, go. Because when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto Christ. And we know, but by the grace of God, there go you and I. So when you get a chance, and then also in Matthew 25, 31 through 41, it was about giving. He says, you gave me, you gave me food, you gave. See, it's a part of giving. It's a part of our DNA. You took me in, you clothed me, you visited me. When did I do this? When you've done it to the least of these. So we thank God for that. And he says it's going to be sheep and goats. So then we pick it up today. Just briefly, we pick it up today in verse, let me finish verse 35. And I showed you all things, how that so laboring, amen, Kathy, we're praying for laborings. You ought to support the weak. Somebody should have that highlighted. Some Paul is saying, look, by working. Okay, we got our 401k, we got our nice car, we getting our, that's okay, it's nothing wrong with that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen, it's nothing wrong with that. But he says, so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Amen. So within your budget, there should be something, some kind of way you're giving back to a ministry. You're giving back to those that are less fortunate. You're giving your time, you're giving your talents, you're giving your resources. God has blessed some of you, you're so talented. You give that back. You don't need anything in return for it because God's given to you. So you give that back and watch God just continue to bless you. All those skills, talents, and abilities that we thought that God was giving us, now we see that we have to give it back. And if you want to look nice in the process, then do it. Amen? Amen. You want to have on your fancy shoes in the process? Do it. But it's not about the shoes. It's not about the tool. It's about the assignment. Amen. Amen? I love working. I love looking nice. I love giving back. That's okay. Amen? We know it goes back to your ulterior motive. It goes back to your heart. Where is your heart at? Is your heart fixed on the stuff or is your heart fixed on God? Paul said, we got to support the weak. I love it. And you all know this ministry, what we do for Teen Challenge, what we do for Crew, what we're doing in Mississippi, what we're doing in Tennessee. We are out there doing it. When we had our food program, just giving food away, just come and get it. God sees all that. We did it out of a pure heart. We're just trying to be a blessing to the community. Folks wanted to come. Can we pay y'all? No, you can't pay us for this. It's because as Jesus said in verse 35, it is more blessed to give than receive. So then look at verse 36. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Paul, after he spoke, now he introduces the importance and the power of praying. As a good shepherd. And as we prayed this morning, we pray every morning. Thank you, Lord, as we pray corporately as a church body. And see, Kathy, that's what you can't get at home, right? Say it now. Amen. You can't have Paul. He kneeled down with his whole church and prayed with them right there. Remember, he's been crying for 3 years, day and night, because he know he has to lead them. And then the savage wolves are going to come from outside and from inside. And then he just knelt down and he prayed with them. You can't get that watching it on TV. The prayer circle we had, you can't. You can touch your TV and it's not the same. It's not the same as touching a miracle of life. Somebody's life who God has touched, what they've been through, and you're able to share just with a hug and make an eye contact, because we all been through some stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. But God. Then Paul demonstrates as a good shepherd. He kneels down and he prays. Write it down, family. It's important and it's powerful to pray. He prays with the congregation. I pray for you all every day. And then on Sundays and Wednesdays, I have the opportunity to pray with you. We've been praying and fasting. And I said, God, as I was reading this, God said, you go right into March. You march into March, somebody say amen. And you praying and fasting for your kids and for our youth. And Kathy confirmed it already. God's been speaking. We talked yesterday with some of the men and just our kids, and we're praying and we're fasting. Oh, and make a note, because it comes a time when you have to shift from preaching, right? You know what you should be doing. You shouldn't. And I need to say, you know what the word says? It comes a time they're not hearing that. And you got to shift from preaching to praying. Yes. And you just get on your knees and then you let God work out the details. And that's how we trust God. And that's every day. Oh, family, I don't have to tell you. I just, it has to be the most special time of day. Yes. And 10 minutes is not enough, but if I only have 10 minutes, I only got 10 minutes, and that's my worship song. That's normally Let Praises Rise by the Potter House or Beautiful Exchange by Hillsong. 10 minutes, and then I get a little, then I'm running late, but I gotta get out of here, man. You're gonna be late again. But I gotta pray for my kids. I gotta pray for my congregation. I gotta pray for my wife. I gotta cover my mom and my mother-in-law and my siblings. I gotta pray for them. I have to, and it's the most special time of the day, and I walk out knowing God got it covered, and I'm fully confident that God can handle it. Because if he delivered me, come on now, he can. I'm sure he can work on, if he can get to me, I'm sure he can work on them. There's always hope. And just make a note, you gotta trust God as you're praying. Don't cast your care upon God and then take it back and start worrying. Do I need to say that again? Don't cast it onto God. He said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And then you start holding it back and then you're worrying about everything. Don't do it. We talked about it yesterday. Get some sleep. Go to bed. Let God work out. Even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't know it, he's working. He's working. He's working. He's always working. Go to bed. Get some sleep. Pastor Chuck Swindoll says, there's nothing more godly than a good night's rest. Go to bed. You're no good the next day. If you're all stressed out, you didn't get any sleep about stuff you can't change anyway. Right. Never underestimate the power of a praying wife. Amen. A praying husband, a praying pastor, a praying father, a praying mother, a praying son, a praying daughter, a praying church member. Never underestimate the power of your prayers. Here's Paul. He's talking and Paul, why should we even believe? Paul, what do you know? Paul kneeled down and prayed with him. Paul had just had an encounter with the power of prayer. It was an incredible encounter. Gave him an attitude, belief, and the demonstration of always praying and never giving up. Make a note. if you make a note, when you and I pray, we're telling God that we trust him completely. Amen. Amen? Amen? Then let's take a look at this. I love this. So, Paul, what do you know? Let's see what Paul knows. Let's go to, just turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 16. Acts 16. I was going to start at 25, but I have to start at 20. Oh, make a note that sometimes you taking a stand for Christ can get you in a bad situation. Make a note. Sometimes you taking a stand for Christ gets you in a dark, cold, bondage, dry, damp place. It's damp and cold and dry at the same time. It's a strange place. Taking a stand for Christ can get you there. I didn't get many amens. So we pick it up. Are we at Acts 16:20? Say amen. Amen. Paul and him have been out and preaching the gospel, rebuking evil spirits. Lydia's gotten converted. And when we were in Greece and Rome and Turkey, especially in Greece, and I have pictures I can show you. We have a picture of the place where Paul was incarcerated right here. It's still there. The stream that Lydia was baptized in is still there. It's all still there. So when we were actually walking this and preaching at these sites and teaching at these sites and seeing this, tell everyone, research the results of the resurrection and you'll see how real God is. Don't get into opinions and all that stuff. Research the results of the resurrection. So here's Paul, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Make a note, when you're preaching the gospel, it's going to trouble this culture. They don't want to hear it. They want everybody to RIP, rest in peace, even though they don't have a relationship with the Prince of Peace. You will trouble some people. People are going to be offended. They're saying, these guys are troubling us with this doctrine. Verse 21, they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. We're Americans. I do my own thing. I don't have to observe what they're saying. They're troubling us with this Jesus Christ stuff, with this obedience, with the standard of living that glorifies God. It's troubling me. It's offensive. Take it out of the schools. Take it out of the workplace. They need to be fired. We don't want to hear that stuff. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore their clothes off, commanded to beat them. Paul and them got their butts kicked because they took a stand for Jesus Christ. Might have to take a beating on your job. You might have to get clowned. Not a physical, but an emotional beating. Because you pray over your food in the lunchroom. And just certain things you don't do. You're not cursing. You're not doing all this other kind of stuff. And, oh, so you're a holy roller. Yeah, okay, whatever. You're a Jesus freak. But I saw you doing this. You might have to take a beating. So Paul had to deal with the rejection, the humiliation, the alienation, the separation, the uncertainty. Because he took a stand for Christ. I don't know who's been preaching the gospel that when you become a Christian that your life just becomes, a bed of roses. I don't know who's been preaching that. And you can name it and claim it and grab it and blab it. And you don't get sick. You don't get hurt. You don't get your feelings. I don't know where that comes from. It doesn't come from the Word of God. It doesn't come from the Word of God. Since they got beat because they took a stand. They got rejected. They were humiliated. Verse 23, and when they had many stripes upon them, they beat them and they're bleeding. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely. You bet not let them get away. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, right? Because you already know that if your prisoner escaped, especially under Roman law, you were killed. Because you let them escape. Amen. That's why it was such a big deal with Christ. They're going to try and say, look, we're going to pay them some money. Say that the disciples came and stole the body. And we're going to make sure they don't kill you because Christ, the body's missing. Which makes no sense. Amen. And we can unpack that another time. But this guy knows, look, he knew exactly what they were saying. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, he threw them into the inner prison. Not just the prison, but the inner prison. I've done prison ministry for about 25 years. I don't even know what inner prison looks like, okay? And then in addition to that, he made their feet fast in the stocks. He put shackles on them in the inner prison. All right. Make a note. Why? Because they took a stand for Christ. And what's my point with this? My point is the power of prayer. I was trying to go to verse 25, but you got to set it up, right? Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? You done got beat, humiliated, alienated. You're in the, not just in prison, you're in the inner prison. And some of us, we've done time before. But we ain't going to go there right now, okay? We ain't going to talk about that right now. But you know what it's like to be in prison. They're going to put you in the inner prison. Your beat is dry, it's cold. And maybe it's not even a physical prison, but just a mental prison. Because your mind has you locked up in some stuff that you just can't let go. So here you are, you mentally shackled. But look what Paul did. So when you're, whether you're mentally, physically, emotional, relational, in prison, shackled, I'm not looking at any of the married men right now. I'm not looking at y'all, okay? I'm not, okay? Or the married ladies, all right? I'm not looking at that, right? But look what they did, though. Paul and Silas were praying. They're not saying, I'm never going to that church again. I hate people. I'm not going to serve God. Look what God, serving God got me. Got me all jacked up, got me all put in a bad situation. I was really liking this girl, and then when she found out I was going to church and I wasn't going to do certain things, she dumped me. My heart's broken. Look, all serving God. Yeah, thanks a lot, God. That's not what they said. Been serving God all my life. Now I'm sick. Now it's my turn to be sick. Now I got the doctor's report. Now my kid is strung out. Thanks a lot, God. Come on, family. We got to, that's the spiritual maturity. We got to go on a whole nother level. That's why when Paul kneeled down and he prayed with that congregation, he was with them for 3 years, crying day and night. He wasn't talking about something he didn't know anything about. The dude had been in prison. He'd been beat. He's out. He said, look, this is what we're going to do, family. We're going to pray. Why are we going to pray? Because he was telling them at midnight, Paul and Silas, we were not only praying, but we were singing praises unto God. And the prisoners were listening to them. All right, make a note. People are listening to you. Amen. When we come in here on Sunday morning and we're praying and we're praising, people are listening. Amen. Something should be coming out of your mouth. It's not a library. Bishop Homer told us yesterday, people think the church is a museum of perfection. It's not. It's a hospital. Threefold. Where people come in that need to be, that's sick and need to be fixed. Then they need to be taught. Then they need to be sent out. Yeah. Amen? Amen. People come in and think it's a museum of perfection. Like, oh, I'm not going to sing. It's just a library. It's a museum. No, you're supposed to participate. You're supposed to pray and sing praises so people can hear you. Amen. This is our public expression. Yeah. Well, say the other prisoners, we're listening to them. So that means they were verbally, they didn't got their butts beat, humiliated, and they're singing to God. Come on, family. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Even if it hurts, say amen. Amen. That's why if you calling me pastor, I want to, okay, but let's talk about it. If you've been singing praises and praying morning, day, and night, no, I ain't got time for that, then we ain't got time to talk about nothing. Because you're not serious. You just want to complain. You don't want to change. You want to complain. We got to be way past that. Because look at this. I love this next verse. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. That's why Paul prayed with the congregation. Because he knows that prayer changes things. He just didn't kneel down with them for nothing. He kneeled down with them because why? Because look, man, we just gotten beat. We just got arrested. Me and Silas, we sing praise songs. Boom. And God shakes things up. Pray for a shake up. You praying for that kid? You praying for that grown kid? You pray for God. Start praying for God to shake it up. Amen. Pray for God to cause a shake up. Shake some things loose. Shake some sense into them. Pray for a shakeup. Like I said, it comes a time where we got to stop preaching and we got to start praying. Amen. I'm still going to share, but I'm not telling you this because you didn't heard it enough and it's a deaf ear. So you know what? I'm praying day and night and I'm praying God for a shakeup. Loosen them, Lord. Loosen them from that satanic influence. Shake it up. Amen. Not going to be arguing with you. I'm not going to be arguing. I know what to do. I know the power of prayer. Amen. Why am I arguing? Man, I don't argue about nothing. I don't. Amen. I know the power of prayer. Right. So I'm on my knees and I'm praying. If God allows it to happen, then it's going to happen or this, that. But I'm not. And then God's going to reveal to the person I want to argue with, say, you know what? I was thinking that we should. I already know that. Because I've been praying. Or either God touches my heart and he says, you know what? That's okay. That's okay. You loosen up a little bit. Amen. And because I'm praying, I'm listening to the voice of God, the tone of God, the sound of God, the musical instruments of God during my prayer time. See why Paul prayed with the congregation? Because he knows that it works, that God listens. to prayer. And you, family, I mean, it's tough though. It's easy to say right here. But how do you pray in a dark, cold, dry, lonely, strange, and unfamiliar place? How do you? I tell you this, you got to practice when things are good. You got to practice praying when things are good. It's called gratefulness. It's called thankfulness. Okay, I got this on the side, Sister Kathy. I'm glad you're back because I couldn't talk to anybody last week. But it says make two notes. It says make two notes, Sister Kathy. Number one, public prayer and praise in the midst of your struggle and bondage. Okay, I got it. I see why I wrote that. Publicly pray and praise. Get in the house of God, get to church, and pray and praise in the midst. Paul and them didn't wait till they got out to pray and thank God. While they were in the inner prison, they prayed and they sang praises in the midst of their struggle and their bondage. Pray while you're in the midst. And then the second note, I've already said it, but it said you could be in a struggle because you're taking a stand for Christ. Doesn't always mean you're doing something wrong. Don't mean somebody else is tripping. It's just that you're taking a stand for Christ and you find yourself in an inner prison. Alienated, shackled, rejected, clowned. And that's okay. You could be in a struggle because you are taking a stand for Christ. Pray and trust God. Ooh, look at what God gave me. Make a note for those of you making. Here's a revelation. Your prayer life, your connection to Christ should never be based upon your location. Oh, they're in there in the prison. I ain't gonna pray now. All this work I've been doing for God and I'll wind up here. Can't forget that. Me and God, I ain't going to even speak to him, Anthony. Your prayer life, your connection to God is never based upon your location. I don't care where you find yourself, financially, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, health-wise. Oh, I'm in the hospital, seriously, with all the things I got to do. And God, you're going to put me in the hospital? We ain't going to even talk. At least not until I get out. Your prayer life can't be based on your location. Can we straighten that out right now? I don't care where you are in life. Amen. Can't be based on your location. Because we can find ourselves in some strange places. And you still got to pray. You still got to praise. Let God shake it up. Trust God to shake it up. It says right here, then you wait for God to shake things up. Be patient. Wait for God to shake things up. Leave the details to God. Wait for the mental, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, financial breakthrough to manifest itself in God's time. Wait for God after you pray. So here we go, verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Why? Because we already read the charge, right? What did they tell him? Make sure these guys don't escape. That's why I threw them in the inner prison, not just prison, the inner prison. Now they're gone. He's saying, I'm dead. So I'm going to get to this last part, and then we're going to have to pick it up next week. So here's the notes for 27. The guard overreacts and acts out of fear. Here's the revelation. Be led by your faith and not your fears. Don't overreact. Don't overreact by what you see. Come on, family. The enemy's always throwing up a mirage, a smokescreen, and we're freaking out and we're flinching and everything. And don't overreact. Oh, my life is over now. This just happened. Don't overreact by what you see. If God is with this jailer who is not, doesn't have a relationship with him, you better believe he's with you and you are his child. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that killing yourself is the way out. Amen. We got to get real right here. He's getting ready to kill himself. He overreacts. My life's over. See, if God is with this guy, and we'll get to it next week where God uses Paul and him to save his life. The guy converts and becomes a believer. We are believers. We are followers of Christ. If God would be looking out for him, how much more do you think God is looking out for you, even when the enemy tries to throw a Job situation into your life? Life is never that bad. If it feels like it is, remember it's only temporary. Somebody say amen, because we're only here temporarily. Somebody say amen. Amen. Remember, the best we can do is exclusive access to temporary stuff. Solomon found it out and hated life. Said, I got to leave this to somebody else. See, now here's the revelation, then we're going to end on this, or I'll see if I have any side notes. but make a note of this. When we get to the point of despair, right, where this is not worth living, is nothing's going right, my life is over, I'll never recover from this. When we get to a point of despair, it's because we think this temporary stuff actually means something. You done bought into a lie that this temporary stuff actually means something. Oh, I lost my house. My life's over. Are you serious? I lost my job. What do I do now? My life's over. I mean, I might as well just finish it. She walked away from me. She walked out of me. He walked out away from me. This my life. You think this temporary stuff, you actually thought this stuff means something. That's the only reason we despair. It's when we take our focus off of Christ and put it on this stuff that we think it actually means something. It doesn't. It's a mirage. You're not taking it with you. Only what we do for Christ has eternal impact. Don't despair over this stuff, this temporary stuff. We say, well, Pastor, what if I die? Then you go right into the presence of the Lord by being a disciple or follower of Christ. That's as good as it gets. Because you all know that we're not going to get out of here alive. None of us. We hope it's a lot later than sooner. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They just had this I guess it was an up-and-coming rapper, and they robbed his house and killed him this past weekend or something. Yeah, it's just a bunch of foolishness. So, you know, I was talking to my youngest daughter, and she was saying, yeah, you know, I kind of like his music. So I just went to kind of just see what this guy was about, because I do that. Let me listen to some of the, are you serious? You got him pictures with pictures of stacks of money, like this stuff actually means something.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. Can't take it. I don't know what happens now. You stand before God now. And if the enemy can convince you to get all wrapped up in stuff, and he can kill you in the process, then you stand before God saying, yeah, God, I always said I wanted to thank God. And Christ is saying, but that wasn't me. I never knew you. And you feel bad. God, help us to have a heart for our youth that's buying into this stuff, these images. And the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. We went to visit Little Man in New Orleans. We left Tuesday. We got back late Friday night, spending time with him. We went out to one of the parades, Mardi Gras parade, and some kind of way a lady got caught between the floats. It cut her in half. And it had happened last night again. We just saw in the news it happened to a gentleman last night. You're going, you just, hey man, you don't wake up thinking I'm gonna go to the parade and I'm gonna get, you know, catch a few beads and all that kind of stuff. If you wonder, no, I didn't take my shirt off for some beads, okay? Just if you wonder, and the pastor didn't do that. But she got, if you take off your shirt, anyway, that's, no, actually it wasn't that type of parade. Maybe on Tuesdays, anyway, but I don't know, family. It's just an urgency. I hope you all see the urgency. God, give us a heart for the lost. Yes. That everything you're doing for us, that we're going out to minister to the weak and those that don't know. Those that are in our circle. So much happens from Sunday to Sunday, family. I just don't know. All I can tell you, God's calling us to urgency. To go out and, yeah, 911, amen. Somebody was saying Psalms 91:1, but he that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, I think that's the one right there. That's the 911. We're calling on God like that. But we got to get out. We got to share the gospel, the good news of the gospel, to anybody that will listen. God's given me the urgency. We got to pray for our kids. We got to listen to them. We got to listen to them. We got to pray for them. And the rest we're going to pick up next week. If you would, we'll just bow our heads just for a quick minute. So, Lord, we stand right here, God, and we see the power of prayer, God. Let us believe it, and especially those of us that physically went to the prison and to the stream where Lydia was. We know how real this is. We know Paul got his head cut off because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ and the gospel and the word of God. So God, give us the urgency. Don't let us despair. Don't let us be depressed over stuff that's not even real. We're not saying live reckless and don't be good stewards over what we have. We're saying, God, let us trust you and pray and let you shake things up and let us wait on you. But God, we need you today more than we did yesterday, God. Praying for our kids that aren't grown and our kids that are. Praying that they see the urgency, God, that they hear the voice of God. The tone of God, the voice of God. And they run to you and not from you. Give our children discernment. Let them see the world for what it is. Take the scales off of their eyes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're praying and fasting for them right now. Touch their hearts. Send laborers into their life that would preach the gospel just like we would, but they wouldn't be able to turn a deaf ear to it. Remind them of who they are in Christ, God. And as you're humbling them and you're purging them, we're praying, God, don't let them fall too far. Don't let them fall too hard. But God, bring them back to the fold. Bring them back to being sheep and not goats, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give us an urgency, Lord, for those on our job, for those in our community, for those in our own home. Share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to walk around feeling guilty or feeling shame. You died on the cross, Lord, and when we're working for you, we might find ourselves in a strange place like Paul did. They were beaten, God. They were shamed. They were humiliated, alienated, God. Their life was uncertain, but what they did know is I'm going to pray and I'm going to praise God right in the midst of my struggle. My location has nothing to do with my prayer life. My location has nothing to do with my connection to God. God, I'm gonna stay connected when I'm in the shackles and the prisons and the inner prison and the strange place and the unfamiliar place. I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna praise your name, and I'm gonna let anybody listening hear me lift up the name of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you and we love you, God. We need you. And we bless you, Lord. You've blessed us so much. God, thank you for the revelation. Now let it lead to transformation. Let us walk out of here praying with the mindset of praying without ceasing. Never stop praying. Knowing that you're shaking things up. And knowing that even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. You're always working, Lord. Working things out for our good. As you're transforming us into your image. And we thank you for that. Bless your people. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. Prepare to stay just a little bit longer next week for our business meeting, which members meeting, which will be right in here.